Prison Colony Resistance, brought to you by Truth Fairy and the Baxman Productions. Prison Colony Resistance. PCR test for truth. Listeners, welcome back to PCR, the Prison Colony Resistance. This is your host, the Vaxman. And today we have a very special surprise because our usual co-host, Sam, couldn't make it tonight. So we do have a fairy who has descended from the heavens.
Hi, Vaxman. How you going?
I'm good. How's it feel like living up there in fairyland? Does it look a lot different? Well, are the views nice?
Oh, look, everything's rolled in glitter.
Beautiful. And so why did you descend from that golden glitter paradise down to this muck and muddy world that we live in with the vax injected into everyone's blood and all this other stuff and all these other horrors that are occurring?
Oh, well, I've just got to pass on the word, whatever that is. I owe it to the people.
I love it. Bringing a little gift for kids' tooths and a little surprise, a little something for us as well. That's excellent to hear. Tell us about yourself. What is happening up in Fairyland? Who are you? What kind of fairy are you? Are the good fairies or the bad fairies? Are you the fairies that take stuff or you leave stuff?
Definitely a devil in disguise. the best kind of fairy.
Excellent. I love your devilish nature. Excellent.
Oh, I just these days I'm sort of like a bit, I'm retired. So to speak, I was working in the mining industry, and now I'm an artist. Like, that's what I pretty much do when nobody's watching.
Excellent. Wow, fantastic. And you're kind of you've been following the resistance chats and the whole vaccine thing and all that?
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yeah. I've had quite a bit to do with the freedom movement, so yeah, and very much involved.
And how do you feel about like all that, like the mandated vaccines and now the adverse events that are coming out?
Well, I think the whole idea of mandated vaccines is just ridiculous. That's coercion. You keep hearing the words, oh, it's a choice, but you can't work, you can't earn a living, you can't run a business unless you go ahead and do it. There's no choice in that. I'm pretty disgusted with it, and I'm probably just as disgusted with the people that seem to think that it's a good thing. That it's, you know, that it's not taking away our choices. I don't understand that level of blindness, I guess.
It is strange how the way it all came in. Me and Sam had been detailing it since about early December, and it's been shocking the way it's been evolving, even in these last 6-7 months, the way it just continues to mutate. And it never goes away. It stays. It's like, even though they say we're lifting the mandates, we know that some workers still have to mandate. Some teachers still have to wear masks all day long. Some people still have to RAT test every single morning. So even though they tell us we're giving you your freedoms back because, for example, most of the pandemic is over, it's not true, really. I mean, we're still...
No, it's not true because... And the other thing is they keep sneaking in new mandates and if you don't do this, then you won't be able to, if you don't have your jab, then you won't be able to do, you know, this, you know, in various states around the country, it's being snuck in even now, like after COVID's been normalized and everybody sort of has had it, you know, and you've got to say, well, what's the point of the vaccine when everybody's had COVID? like it hasn't saved anybody from having COVID. And the argument will be that, you know, it saved our lives. We could have got COVID worse. But could you? I mean, you already had a 99% survival rate. I mean, how much better can it get?
And I think one of the reasons that they don't want people like us on the air or making too many waves or too much noise is because we know, but I didn't get the vax and I was fine. You know, I just kind of cruised through life. I might have had a flu here and there, you know, the normal sort of flus that you get throughout the season, and they go away after 2 or 3 days. You blow your nose 4 or 5 times extra than you would normally, you know, and then take a couple of vitamin D's and off you go.
Yep, exactly. Yep. No, same thing. I think I may well have even had it, but I wouldn't have known because it was just another flu to me. Yeah. Yep.
So have you been a participant in like those PCR tests? Have you lined up in the queue for 4 hours to get, you know, things shoved up your nose in the tent?
Well, when I was flying away to site, when I was still working in the industry, I was getting PCR tests before flying out.
Oh, wow.
Every week. And yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Wow. And was that into West Australia?
No, that was within South Australia.
But oh, okay.
You know, isolated mine site, so you couldn't go out there with the potential of having COVID because you shut the whole joint down at the time. That's what would have happened, and nobody wanted that because you would have lost your job if you'd been the one to bring COVID to site.
Oh, the boogeyman.
Yeah,
what are you doing? You brought COVID to our mine. Oh, stop it. Get it out of here.
Oh, it was. And if anybody came down with it while they were on site, they got isolated immediately in camp and you know, left in their rooms. Now there were people there that were like, you weren't allowed to leave your room, and there were people that were forgotten about at tea time and things like that, you know. And there's no phones in the rooms, you can't call anybody.
Wow.
So it was just all a bit, yeah.
So they're just pounding on the door, give me a sandwich, for Christ's sake, give me a sangha.
Yeah, it was. It was just so bloody knee-jerk reaction. But, you know, at the time, everybody thought you were, you know, on the verge of death, because that's what we've been told.
True. We have been exploring the reasons why, like, all this has happened, and we have kind of connected it to Klaus Schwab and the WEF and the, you know, implantation of certain brain implants that he wants to put into everyone by 2030. We suspect, highly suspect, following all the data that keeps streaming out, that this injection campaign may have had something to do with that. Do you know anything about all that Klaus Schwab stuff and all that?
Oh, I've listened to some of his discussions and Harari.
Yeah. He's awesome. We love him.
Yeah, don't we just? And, you know, all of his data mining ideas. And I've also got Harari's book. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. I'll see whether I can find it. But I started reading it, but I'm going to have to apply myself a little bit more.
Is it a good read? Can he write?
Well, he wrote the book Sapiens, I believe it was called, and that was actually not a bad read, but he was already touching on globalism in that book as well. You know, sort of like we'll be going from sovereign tribal type nations to a global government. So he was already covering off on that. So the book I've got is 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. And I believe that in that he'll probably cover most of the WEF ideas of world domination once I get to it.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know who else mentioned the WEF, the World Economic Forum, recently?
No.
Well, it wasn't so recent. This was back in 2017. I found this on the resistance channels, right? And it's basically our main man, Mr. Albanese. It won't be easy under Albanese. And apparently he wrote this article called Infrastructure Failures, a Drag on Competitiveness. That was written by Albanese. It was an article, 26 September 2017. And in the article,
I didn't know he could write.
Yeah, apparently so. Maybe somebody wrote it for him and he just, don't sign off on that. Have you seen the Pauline Hanson shorts?
Yeah, some of them are bloody. They're trying to get rid of them. Like, I can't believe that we're not allowed to have an Australian sense of humor anymore. What is wrong with people?
Can't take the piss anymore. No, that's not
Yeah,
Australian, nope.
yeah, yeah. I mean, we live to take the piss. What's left to us after that?
That's what Australians are known for. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Oh man, you took the piss out of that guy and his little knife. And now you
Exactly.
can't even do that.
No.
You get censored. Oh, you can't
Yeah.
say knife, sir. You have to say another word. That's the K word.
And
Is
just because he's knife challenged doesn't mean that you can make fun of him.
That's right. You're hurting his feelings. His knife is just fine. You're such a
That's right.
meanie. And so apparently in the report, here's what Albanese wrote. He said, that he was sent, mentioning all the cuts that Scott Morrison had promised on budget night last year. Remember, this is 2017. And he said, this represents the third consecutive budget in which the government invested less than it promised on the railways, roads, ports, and other infrastructure that are critical to economic growth and job creation. The most recent cuts were across a range of programs within the infrastructure portfolio, including important road safety programs like the Black Spot program and the Heavy Vehicle Safety and Productivity program. And here comes the kicker. The figures, backed up by the World Economic Forum findings, indicate that the government is either incompetent or is seriously misleading Australians about its commitment to nation building. Isn't that just great, Mr.
What
Albanese, citing the WEF?
on earth does WEF have the right to have an opinion about the way we're running our government? Like, and why does it even matter what they think? Why are they even being involved in any of it is the question.
It's so weird. What we always wonder, what does Klaus have on these people? Like, does he have pictures of them peeing on a bed or something? Like they did with Trump. The Russians apparently had pictures of Trump peeing on prostitutes back in Russia when they had him as a guest and they used that over him. But we don't know what they have on Albanese and Morrison and all these other scumbags.
Well, there's got to be some good stuff, like way better than peeing on prostitutes. I mean,
Way better than
you
that.
pay for that.
True, my goodness. Yeah, and we've seen the pressure that they put on to get these vaccines into everyone's blood. For example, here's a story. It came out in Rebel News, and it's basically a policeman, right? So he's a policeman, and he was kind of sick and tired of being Dan Andrews' little tool. So he's saying this is not what he signed up for, and he's referring to like the COVID enforcement. And he's a long-serving police officer and he was a military veteran. And he told Rebel News, he said, quote, "This is not what I signed up for. That's why I left the Victoria Police. You're getting more and more cops leaving. For example, in my gazette that just went out, you had 28 cops leaving and only 13 in. So now you've had a loss of 15 cops. And that's just in one fortnight. And that's happening every fortnight." And he used to serve in special operations and critical response divisions, Officer Bernstein. So there you go. It's people are kind of sick and tired of telling people they can't drink a cup of coffee or checking to see if there's even coffee in the cup because people were using that as an excuse not to wear the mask. And here's the police officer saying, I'm not in this for that. I'm not a cop to do that kind of stuff or the other more dastardly stuff that they did.
Well, it's good to see that they're sticking by their integrity and actually leaving instead of just doing what they've been asked to do.
True. Yeah, they do have some integrity. How do you feel about, do you think that they're rats leaving a sinking ship?
Well, I'd like to think so, but then it just leaves lots of places open for, I suppose, mercenary style hires, doesn't it?
And who just so happens to have mercenary style soldiers ready to go?
I wonder.
Oh, Mr. Schwab.
Does
Hello,
it?
this is Klaus talking to you now. Why are you guys talking? Hey, where's Sammy? Is Sammy here in the show? Hey, who are you? Are you the new person? Nice to meet you. My name is Klaus. If you would, I need to implant this brain into you right now, just so that you can do whatever I tell you to do.
It's all fabricated, but you'll captivate it. Money wasted, country's devastated. I'm a vaccinator, twisted vaccinator. I'm the vaccinator, out to terminate ya.
invented weapons. And now I have a weapon that only I can defeat. And when I unleash it, I'll get... Ah! You sly dog! You got me monologuing! I can't believe it.
I see four distinct phases in the evolution of the World Economic Forum in the last 50 years. In the first phase, after the initial Davos meeting in 1971, we strengthened our convening power, integrating really the top leaders from government, business, and civil society. In a second phase, we turned participants of our events into members, laying the foundation for continued interaction and cooperation. And in the third phase, we developed our internal capability to exercise conceptual leadership through initiatives and reports, which have now become reference benchmarks around the world in areas such as global competitiveness, global risks, and gender parity. And finally, in the fourth and last phase, we moved from generating stakeholder interaction to enabling joint stakeholder action and achieving collective impact. Whereas in the past, there was a clear distinction between the political, economic, social, technological, and ecological aspects of a challenge, today, everything is interdependent and interwoven. Therefore, the Forum is the only international organization which looks at all issues in an interconnected way.
You got me monologuing, I can't...
Somehow, I managed to find cover, and what does Baron von Ruthless do?
He starts monologuing.
He starts like this prepared speech about how feeble I am compared to him, how inevitable my defeat is, how the world will soon be his, yada, yada, yada.
Yammering.
I mean, a guy has me on a plane, and he won't shut up.
I always have been particularly concerned about having an open forum approach and integrating grassroots leaders into our activities. This is why, together with my wife Hilde, we created the Schwab Foundation for Social Entrepreneurship, which has directly and indirectly improved the lives of 500 million people over the last 20 years. Today, regionalization and localizations have become counterparts to globalization. Meaningful perspectives have to be based on the integration of globalization, regionalization, and localizations, which is why, in addition to our headquarters in the international city of Geneva, the Forum has a direct presence in New York, Beijing, Tokyo, Mumbai, and in Silicon Valley. In addition, through our centers for the fourth industrial revolution, we are present today in 14 countries with the network fast globally expanding.
You got me monologuing, I can't believe it.
It'd be about the only way you'd get me to do anything that I was told to do.
I mean, it's like we saw this in New Zealand too. Jacinda couldn't get rid of those protesters outside of Wellington, the capital. And all of a sudden, one day, there's just goons without insignia, all dressed in green with those headphones, just like they had in Canada, pushing people on, burning tents down if they weren't moving. And now, you know, like you said, these goons are ready to go. Anytime you need them, Mr. Andrews, just give us a ring. You don't need cops anymore.
That's right. Yep. It's the more cops that leave, the more open it is to people that are just taking the paycheck and will do what they're told.
And he, our ever illustrious leader, Mr. Andrews, is now being investigated left and right. He's being interviewed by the corruption commission over in Victoria. And Dan Andrews, you know, he keeps getting investigated. And apparently, I read this, that there are damning allegations have emerged that senior officers of the kind that Mr. Burst that we just mentioned, senior officers within Victoria Police prevented detectives from arresting and prosecuting up to 16 members of the Andrews government over the red shirts rorts.
You're going to have to bring me up to speed there. I don't know what the red shirts rort is.
Well, I'm glad that you asked, Face, because I just so happen to have a video, if I can pull that up. It's a little video talking about the cash for access scandal, which is kind of happening now. That's in addition to another scandal that our premier, or not our premier, thank goodness. Our premier is Pokey Petey, Petey Melanowskis, down here in South Australia. What do you think of Pokey Petey?
I haven't really had time to form an opinion.
You haven't met the guy? No?
No.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I saw Pokey Petey in a bar, if I'd punch his face or if I'd say hello. I'm still kind of debating. Like, it's between those two extremes, you know?
Right. Has he crossed your path, has he?
Well, I mean, the first thing he does once he's in office is he wants to boost everyone, and then he wants to boost the kids. And now we read a report, it was in last week's episode, that 40 schools in South Australia are going to have vaccination clinics inserted into them to allow the children easier access to life-saving medications that are the vax, just in case parents haven't been able to find the time to take them to a clinic.
So that's basically taking away consent from parents again, isn't it?
Well, I think as long as they put their kids in school, they're consenting to have them injected with an experimental mRNA gene therapy. Don't you think so?
How convenient. Yep, that's just outrageous.
Unbelievable. And we saw this was happening in Victoria. We read the Age article about that. We saw this happening in Queensland. We showed our listeners, we played a listener's little audio clip from a newscast. And now, here is Mr. Andrews, and they're talking about this another sort of corruption scheme that he has going. This is like the third or fourth one, and yet he keeps winning these elections and he keeps getting put into power, and we're supposed to say, oh, that's how democracy works. Yes, absolutely.
Premier Daniel Andrews has been questioned in another private corruption hearing, this time over his association with a property developer under investigation for allegedly corrupt land deals. The inquiry by the independent broad-based anti-corruption commission has been running for 2 years, focusing on an alleged cash for access scandal involving the property developer, KC councillors and Labor MPs. Andrews was previously questioned last week by the Commission on branch stacking and misuse of public funds in the ALP.
Branch stacking, misuse of funds, cash for access, land deals with property developers, about as shady as you can get, Mr. Andrews.
And yet no one's touching him. It's a bit like Fauci. It's the same sort of thing. Everyone, you know, he gets dragged into Senate hearings all the time, and his nefarious dealings discussed, and nothing happens. And nothing continues to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mr. Fauci, he is quite a character, and I think you're right. He does have that same Teflon coating as Mr. Andrews over here in Victoria. It's pretty amazing, huh? Like, maybe it's Klaus. Maybe being friends with Klaus has benefits.
Reinforced Teflon, in fact.
Once Klaus, you know, touches you with his golden touch, you're untouchable. Yeah, officially, you're corruptible, but untouchable. It seems that way.
Yep.
Not only that, we also have more corruption happening. Now, here at the Prison Colony Resistance, we do something called the PCR coin. Have you heard about the PCR coin?
No.
Well, basically what we do is we just give out a PCR conflict of interest coin. So we call it, I guess it's the conflict of interest coin. So it's the coin, if you want to be very technical about it. But the PCR coin is what we give to the most corrupt, usually politicians, you know, they're usually always politicians. I don't think we've given a coin to a civilian. They're all been politicians. For some reason, those two go together so well. It's like bread and butter, you know, peanut butter and jelly, bananas and oatmeal. corruption and politicians. They all just kind of, a beautiful symbiosis.
Hand in glove.
Hi, y'all. Come on down to the front porch and have yourself some lemonade. How y'all doing? You here for the PCR coin, the conflict of interest? PCR coin of the week, the conflict of interest coin.
And here's Mr. Morrison this time, not Andrews. So here we're going up the food chain. Apparently, Mr. Morrison is also friends with Klaus. He's got a lot of pool. And no matter how many corruption investigations he shut down, I think he shut down over 30 corruption royal commissions into the Commonwealth government. And here it says, this is a story in Kangaroo Court of Australia. This is a website that exposes the corruption at every single level of government. We highly recommend it. Our listeners go and check it out. And in this article, it appeared recently, April 25, 2022, so just a week and a half ago. Scott Morrison is leading the way in fraud and theft with his mates David Gazzard and Scott Briggs as the LNP call for a royal commission in Queensland. Now, the LNP, I think, is Scott Morrison's party, is it not?
I guess so. Yep.
Because I think they united the Liberal National Party in Queensland as well as who was it? Liberal Party and the National Parties merged in 2008 to form the LNP. So this is Morrison's own party in Queensland asking for a royal commission on fraud because of the submarine deal that went, you know, billions and billions of dollars for the submarine deal that his friends got tons of money on, like Peter Costello and David Gazzard made millions. So how much does Scotty make crafting that deal? So quite interesting, I think.
Rather.
The ABC reported, and this is reading from that story, the ABC reported, quote, an interim report into the culture and accountability of the Queensland public sector reveals new concerns about the overreach of ministerial staff, the influence of lobbyists, and the erosion of functions designed to hold government to account. In Queensland recently, this has been accentuated by the dual roles of some lobbyists acting for clients to influence government, then acting for political parties to help them win elections.
Conflict of interest coin from PCR.
Oh, but Scott's leading the way. Come on.
He's a leader, that's for sure. Yes, absolutely. I didn't know they stacked them that high, really. Have you had any experience? Have you seen any, like in your life, have you seen any corruption on a political level? Anything that sort of, you know, struck you as what the heck's going on here?
Oh, you hear about stuff all the time, but it quickly gets covered up, doesn't it? So, when we end up having royal commissions and the findings get sealed away and, you know, sometimes for good reason, but quite often, you know, we don't even get to hear the terms of reference in some of the royal commissions, particularly stuff about government corruption. So, yeah, it's I guess that's definitely on the nose.
It's almost like they're afraid. They're afraid of letting us know. Like, we can't let people know how corrupt we are. Obviously, they can't, because then we want them out of there. But while they're in there, you know, they can do whatever they want for 3 years. And we all know that they're doing it, and it gets worse and worse and worse, and they keep taking more and more and more. They're never happy. It's always not a question of how much. It's a question of when is enough enough? Like, how much do you need to take? Because the rorts are getting worse. The we now have these land acquisition agencies that have been set up by governments in New South Wales, the New South Wales River Commission, that's been entitled and empowered to confiscate any land, even if you don't want to sell your land, if you don't want to sell your house that's been devastated by the rivers and the flooding. The government agency will come in and buy it off you and then make way for a nice rail corridor, a super fast maglev train all the way from Brisbane, maybe even up north more, all the way down to Adelaide, just down the east coast. And whew. But how do you get all that land?
From one smart city to the next.
Exactly. All with our digital IDs and our smart cameras on every post and happy-go-lucky digital programmable currencies that they tell you what you can spend your money on.
And don't forget the happy, happy credit system.
Oh, I'm feeling so joyous right now. Just talking about it. I can't wait for it to begin.
Oh, I can't wait to own nothing and be happy. Oh, I really can't.
I'm looking forward to the bugs, to tell you the truth. I'm kind of sick and tired of eating nice, juicy hamburgers. I want nice, crunchy bugs that taste like Vegemite, potentially.
Oh, damn right. I mean, you can spread them, roast them, you know, dry fry them. That'd be awesome.
Oh, it'd be beautiful. I cannot wait. You throw a little butter on there, a little bit of salt. Oh, man, I'm getting hungry. Let's go out. Let's go out and have a nice dinner of bugs, grasshoppers. What else can we have? Some nice crunchy, some centipedes. Oof.
Oh, geez, I hope we're allowed to have a side of salad, you know, pesticide-imbued salad.
Apparently, about three episodes ago, we talked about how the Australian government is funding genetic. They have set up a government office, a government, you know, department that is experimenting and trying to figure out how to manipulate genetics, right? And one of their plans was to make salads vaccines. So as you're growing the lettuce or growing the salad materials within the genetic code of the actual food, you just put in any vaccines that you need to put in, whatever is in these things, these mRNA gene therapies, you just add them to the stuff, put it in, and then now you're eating the salad and getting inoculated at the same time.
Wow.
And that's again, legit.
Again, there's that choice thing being taken away like it never existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous. I think choice for the politicians, if they give us too many choices, we might not choose what they want us to choose. And I think they don't like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's life though, isn't it? We shouldn't have to choose what they want us to choose. Why do we have to adhere to this bloody narrative? And in actual fact, you mentioning about corruption, I can't wait until there's some sort of inquiry into the pandemic, find out how many politician mates got their palms greased with, you know, plum contracts, et cetera, throughout the whole proceedings. That's going to be interesting.
You think it'll happen?
Well, it could well happen, or there might be a series of little tiny investigations, and then somebody will want to have a big investigation and they'll be able to say, no, there's been little investigations. It's all been sorted and swept under the carpet.
Hmm.
No, we want a really loud, noisy, open-ended, highly visible investigation. Thank you.
That would be great. I mean, that would be fancy. Somebody like Alex Antic running it, somebody like Pauline Hanson, Malcolm Roberts, you know.
Someone that won't shy away.
With principles, with honesty and transparency, trying to ask questions of our members. And we've seen it. A lot of senators, a lot of representatives have tried to question people like John Skerritt, the head of the TGA, and they just give those like, it's safe and effective, you know, whatever. Like, we don't care what you were asking us. We're just going to say the same lies. And if you like them, good. If you don't like them, tough. Yeah. It's the narrative.
Or their favorite, we'll answer that later. I haven't got the information here with me.
I love that. Take it on notice. I'm going to have to take that on notice.
That's the one. Yep.
And they always like lean over to the guy like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to take that on notice, Mr. Antic, Senator Antic. I can't answer what a woman is at this particular juncture.
How gold was that?
That was beautiful. I love that. Oh, my gosh. I was hoping they would say the vax man is a woman. And they'd be like, yes, I am a woman. Hear me roar.
I just love being an undefined substance. It's awesome.
Oh, yes. Until they take away your abortion rights. And then you're a woman.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. for all intents and purposes.
Oh my God, the hypocrisy is just insane. It's just off the charts at this point in time.
It's multi-layered.
I kind of love it though. I from a Vaxman perspective, I consider myself a bit of a Joker character, just laughing at the doom and laughing at the cruelty and just kind of amused at the whole scenario that's been painted for us, you know, just people being forced to inject themselves and having myocarditis and heart attacks and strokes, and then coming out and they're saying, yeah, but it could have been worse. And then I just have to say, yeah, man, okay, go ahead and boost yourself. Good luck. You know, yeah. Take care of yourself.
You could have got a flu.
Could have had a flu.
Yeah, the end.
You saved $5 in a tissue packet, but yet you spent $40,000 with a cardiovascular surgeon. So yeah.
But you've had myocarditis. Sorry, but that's it. You've damaged your heart now.
Forever.
Yeah, that doesn't go away.
It scars over, so it doesn't heal. Those cells don't regenerate themselves.
That's right. And from what I've heard, apparently it's you've done some serious damage to your lifespan.
True. And it makes you wonder, like, if this, did they know about this, right? Was this something that was evident in all that data that's being dumped every first of the month? A court, I think it was a federal court in the US, ordered Pfizer to release all of their documents, and Pfizer wanted 75 years before they released anything. And the court asked them, wait a minute, you had people who could actually produce all this stuff at warp speed when they were making the vaccine, and now you're claiming that you don't have enough people to review all the documents to release them, just to hit send. You don't have enough people? Nah, come on. We want this. So they just released like 40,000 pages of documents. And apparently in May 2021, they already knew that this vaccine was causing myocarditis and pericarditis in young people. And
well, you've only got to look at the extreme efforts they've gone to normalize those extremely naturally occurring rare illnesses. You know, they've normalized them so that, you know, it's no big deal now. The doctor will tell you it's no big deal. You've only got myocarditis. You'll be right. Like, so obviously they knew.
And they, like you said, they do try to minimize it. And they just say, oh, it's just a minor heart condition. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Stop complaining.
And because if you've done this, if you've injected yourself and you've suffered these adverse events, I mean, you have my sympathies. I do say that I'm a bit of a joker, but I mean, the individual has my sympathies, yet the whole situation is almost ironically comedic. But you hear these young people saying, oh, you know, I have myocarditis, but my doctor says it's okay. And, you know, you don't want to burst that bubble of hope that they have, but
yeah, it's not okay. And you know, I feel particularly badly for those that were coerced, you know, that their mortgages and their jobs and their family security was held to ransom. Take this or lose that. You know, I feel particularly bad for them, especially if they've had an adverse event like myocarditis.
Yeah, or a stroke. Apparently, people are going blind because they've had these strokes. And sometimes you can have a mini stroke, you just like a headache. Oh, but a part of your brain is like just hemorrhage, but it's not enough to send you to the hospital. And then 2 months later, apparently there's a rise in blindness in Australians.
And, you know, conveniently, you can't link that directly to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
it's just a thing that's happening. You know, it's just like, don't go around blowing in umpire whistles. You know, you'll get a heart attack. Same thing.
Yeah, be careful. If it's too hot out, you might get a heart attack.
Oh, it happens all the time now, apparently.
Don't vacuum too strenuously. Heart attack.
Exactly.
And here's a little clip from Dr. Naomi Wolf, and she's talking to us about when Pfizer knew, and she's saying, like, in May 2021 they knew. The explanation that she gives, it's so ominous. You know, like, think about, you're a Pfizer executive, you want to make the company money. The government under Trump has said, hey, we'll pay you $8 billion if you manufacture this thing quick. This thing had been produced a long time ago by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. and they licensed it through Moderna. So Moderna is a DARPA company, and Moderna then IP licensed it to Pfizer. So Pfizer has this IP, this code to put into the RNA, and they are wondering, well, can we use it? Well, let's have some experiments. And they run these experiments, and apparently in May 2021, this is what happened.
As a parent, this is the one that distresses me the most. Dr. Chris Flowers, a highly credentialed professor of radiology, who also does peer review himself, pointed out that in May of 2021, the FDA would have known and Pfizer would have known that the mRNA vaccines were causing myocarditis in teenagers because there was a peer-reviewed article about it in a medical journal, and peer review had already gone on for several months. They found that 35 teens had had heart damage within a week of receiving the mRNA vaccine. However, the FDA issued the emergency use authorization for teens in June of 2021, a month later, and hundreds of thousands of teens probably were injected between June of 21 and August of 21, when the FDA finally issued a press release saying there were signs that it caused myocarditis in teens.
Oh my gosh.
Nope, we forgot to mention that. Oh, sorry about that. Oh, hundreds of thousands injected now. Don't miss that one.
Yeah, what a shame. Oh, wow. And so all of this stuff is circulating, and nobody's kicking up enough of a stink about it. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah. Yet, like Today Tonight, A Current Affair, whatever, those news magazine shows, they'll go and they'll interview some guy about a fencing dispute. The neighbor's dog barks too loud, and they've had a dispute for the last 3 years, and they'll 15 minutes on that, like a little segment on something like that. And here is a story about hundreds of thousands of teenage boys given heart defects for the rest of their life from a company that knew that this might happen. And yet, it's all good. No need to report that.
Hey, look, Granny's Knitted Tea Cozy competition is way more important than a spot of myocarditis, just a spot.
They have priorities. I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
I don't want to turn on my TV and be depressed at the reality of, you know, the narrative falling apart. No. I want to be satiated with stories of happiness and lollipops and fairies.
You got to keep stapling that shit together. You've got to make sure that that narrative's just, you know, keeps on track.
It's coming apart, though. It's like it has so many holes now that they cannot contain it. So what they're trying to do is create like digital censorship.
There's not enough hockey straps. There really isn't.
Oh, man. So here's a couple of more stories. These are hard to kind of explain because they're all visual. So a lot of stuff is coming out now, and it's really hard to hide all these adverse events because in addition to all the channels on the Telegram and the Signal and people chatting, we also have newspapers like the Exposé who continue to tell us about these reports. So for example, here is a new study confirming that the COVID-19 vaccine causes severe autoimmune hepatitis. And it was published just days after the WHO, the World Health Organization, issued a global alert about new severe hepatitis among children. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. Yep. Yep. How unusual. It's just like shingles caused from the vaccine, but suddenly COVID caused it. Same thing.
Exactly. Encephalitis, yep. Too?
Yep. Yeah, Japanese encephalitis.
Oh, that's right. Yes, let's not be racist. Let's not call them Chinese encephalitis.
No, it's Japanese encephalitis.
They come with little sushi rolls, little maguro rolls. They got wooden chopsticks instead of the steel ones like the Koreans use.
But the thing about this whole vaccine is that the side effects are just so varied that it makes the lie bigger, And it makes it harder for people to believe it as a result, because there's so many side effects. So they can attribute the side effects to sudden outbreaks of, or COVID's causing this thing, you know, because you just wouldn't believe that one vaccine could possibly cause all of this stuff.
And to give it some distance, they call it long COVID. So it's not just COVID, it's long COVID.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. That's my favorite.
Because that's like, you got COVID, then you got vaccinated, and then the long COVID came back and evaded the vaccine somehow. And now you have shingles, or you have hepatitis or encephalitis.
Fatigue syndrome or something,
Exactly. And apparently this study, it basically is saying what we've been saying since 2021, and which, what's his name? Von de, do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
He's a like vaccinologist, and he's been so against this thing, and he's just been out there. I'll find his name, listeners, don't worry. And he was saying that what happens is that the vaccine stimulates a T cell response. And so these spike proteins on the outside of the cells that are manufactured by the mRNA instructions then activate, you know, your immune system to respond. And the T response, the T cell response, becomes dominant because it has short-term memory. It's like very quick. And it recognizes this protein. So here's the T cell response for the spike protein that comes out. And whenever something new comes around, what it does is it suppresses your immunity. So I'll read the little summary. It says, a new scientific study published 21st April 2022 has concluded that the COVID-19 vaccination can elicit a distinct T cell dominant immune mediated hepatitis with a unique pathomechanism associated with vaccination-induced antigen-specific tissue-resident immunity requiring systematic immunosuppressions. And these findings came just days after WHO issued that global alert about severe hepatitis in young children. Hepatitis, shingles is another one that your immune system kind of holds all these things at bay. What's another one? Like lip sores, herpes simplex V? Those are also like suppressed by your immune system, but because you're injecting yourself and the T cell dominant response takes over, your own immune system is suppressed. And all of a sudden, these things that were held at bay for years and years and years by your miraculous natural immunity flare up again.
Yeah, well, apparently we're not allowed to have our own immune system anymore. We've got to have one that we adopt from outside ourselves, much more efficient.
We got to pay Pfizer for the right. We got to license it.
Damn right. Or just eat it in your damn cabbage.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You just buy a bag of salad. It's like $700. Why? Oh, it's got vaccine. It's got vaccine. Oh, my God. I'm taking this one home. Yay.
Buddy, where's the spatula?
Okay, kids, let's go.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatula so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
City, we sell spatulas, and that's all.
Feed it to the whole family, give it to your babies.
It's not a world I want to live in. It really isn't.
But we're living in it. We got no choice.
Yeah, apparently.
Unbelievable. Like you said, our right to consent to the life that we want to lead has been taken from us. And in its place, we've been given these shady vaccines that cause so much illness. and just bad health and death, you know, no shirking that.
Well, and then you've got the flu vaccine that you're supposed to be taking, you know, every year as well, on top of everything else. I can't imagine that your body really wants all of that.
Honestly, I think what we need is just one vaccine. Like, if there was just one vaccine that did everything, that would be so... What am I talking about? There is this vaccine. Yeah, check it out. I'm going to ask my my friend, Mr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, are you in the room? Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Vax Man? Hey, who's this? Where's Sammy boy? Hey, Sammy, you're not here. Hey, oh, who are you? I don't know. You need a Vax? I got some in my pocket. I got some extra one. You want a little vaccine?
Sounds a lot like Klaus Schwab.
Oh, no. This is Fauci. No, Klaus and me, we're tight, but we ain't that tight. You know what I'm saying? he's from Geneva, I think, or something like that. Some Switzerland. I'm from Brooklyn. You know Brooklyn, New York, Yankees. No, I think it's the Mets. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I just care about vaccines. You want to get vaxxed? I got one in my pocket.
Pass.
Oh, you and Sammy, you two birds of a feather, eh?
Hey, still furious, but a bit more mellow. Fauci. Furious. Still a bit furious. Not too much nowadays, but, you know. Furious. Fauci.
Yo! Yeah. You almost knocked me down, man. The word is excuse me.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Not only did you knock me down, you stepped on my brand new white Air Jordans that I just bought. And that's all you can say is excuse me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'll fuck you up quick two times. Who told you to step on my sneakers? Who told you to walk on my side of the block? Who told you to be in my neighborhood?
I own this brownstone.
Who told you to buy a brownstone on my block, in my neighborhood, on my side of the street? Yo, what you want to live in a black neighborhood for anyway, man? Motherfuck gentrification.
Well,
as I understand it, this is a free country. Man can live wherever he wants.
Free country? Man, I should fuck you for saying that stupid shit alone.
Yo, man, your Jordans are fucked up.
Damn, man, you might as well throw them shits out. Them shit is broke.
Man, they looked at it good before he messed up. He did this shit on purpose, man. He was even talking about your mom.
What part of that shit to make me so mad?
Yo, man, how much you pay for him?
$100.
American dollars.
108 with tax.
I give him 100 headaches.
Look, you're lucky the black man has a loving heart. Next time you see me coming, man, you cross the street quick.
I'm out of here.
Yo, man, break his feet.
Take his bike. I should make you buy me another pair.
Black Panther, whoop his ass.
Take his bike.
Kick his ass.
Man, you're lucky I'm a righteous black man. Otherwise, you'd be in serious trouble, man. Serious.
Fuck him up.
Then why don't you move back to Massachusetts?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Thank you so much, Afifa, for that kind introduction. Members of the faculty, distinguished guests, family members and friends of you, the graduates, and of course you, the 2020, and I understand to some extent the 2021 graduating class of the University of Michigan. It is a privilege and an honor, believe me, to be your commencement speaker, and I'm humbled to be receiving an honorary degree from this distinguished university. I thank the Board of Regents and President Coleman for bestowing this honor on me. Now, I no longer feel like an outsider when I get carried away looking at the baseball, the basketball and football games on TV. And when I say go blue, now I'm legitimate, right? So seriously, I've had the privilege of delivering multiple commencement addresses over the many years. And not uncommonly, I refer to my own graduation from college, and I tend to draw certain analogies between the past and the present and illustrate that we have shared a common experience. Now, clearly, that does not readily apply to your class. The profound ways that COVID-19 has disrupted your student years, as you've heard from previous speakers, are unprecedented. Otherwise, why would we be celebrating the graduation of the class of 2020 and 2021 in May of 2022? Viewing the overall situation from my vantage points at the National Institutes of Health and in the White House, each of you deserves enormous credit and respect, and I mean that, for your extraordinary adaptability, your resilience, your dedication to learning, completing your studies, and graduating despite immense difficulties and certainty. So I say with all sincerity that I am in awe of you for that. I've spent my entire professional career in Washington, D.C. as a scientist, a physician, and a public health official. Although that career path is fundamentally devoid of politics in the classic sense, being in Washington has allowed me to experience firsthand the intensity of the divisiveness in our nation. What troubles me is that differences of opinion or ideology have in certain circumstances been reflected by egregious distortions of reality. Sadly, elements of our society have grown increasingly unfazed by a cacophony of falsehood and lies that often stand largely unchallenged, ominously leading to an insidious acceptance of what I call the normalization of untruths. We see this happen daily, propagated through a range of information platforms, social medias, and so-called news organizations. And sad to say, certain elected officials in positions of power.
I'm out of here.
Yo, man, break his feet! Come on,
George, take his gun! I should make you buy me another pair! Black Panther, whoop his ass!
Take his
bike!
Kick his ass!
Man, you're lucky I'm a righteous black man. Otherwise, you'd be in serious trouble, man. Serious!
Fuck him up!
Then why'd you move back to Massachusetts?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Well, here, let me tell you about this. We got a new vaccine here. It's called the Moonshot. I work with this with my buddies in the Army. I'll let the Vax Man tell you about that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Thank you for coming on. And we hope the fight goes well against COVID. Wow, cool. We got to meet Dr. Fauci. Wasn't that amazing? Did you get his autograph?
Oh, I wasn't quick enough. There was just too much of a crowd around him.
Yeah, he's a little guy too. He's only like 5 foot tall, so he gets lost in a crowd quite easily.
Yeah, so I bet he does.
He needs one of those flags, you know, that the tour guys have, like for the tourists. You ever see him in the city?
I don't think he wants a target.
True. There was a dude about three states away who had a loaded weapon in his car. And when the cops stopped him, they pulled him over in the States. And they said, "What are you doing with a loaded weapon?" He said, "I'm thinking about killing Fauci." Three or four states away, he still had like 12 or 14 hours to drive, and they're like, "Oh my god, it's a threat on Fauci's life, put him in prison." And who knows what happened to that poor guy? Probably got injected or something.
Never heard of again.
But the Fauci vaccine that he was talking about is called the Moonshot. So trial results of the U.S. Army Moonshot COVID vaccine that, quote, protects against all variants is expected soon. This came out 23 April 2022, and we're going to have a new vaccine made by the U.S. Army. Woo-hoo. Isn't that great? Yay!
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be fantastic.
I want my fourth booster first. I want to make sure I get everything.
Get yourself immunized, and then you get the Moonshot.
That's right. Yep. I want to click the set.
Collector's edition. Oh, man, that's it. That's it. So, I don't know. They keep coming out with these vaccines. Like, I think they've played their vaccine card. I don't think they can do another vaccine scare where they try to put this into everyone's blood. I don't think it'll fly next time.
I would like to think not.
Because, I mean, like, people aren't going to fall for that. Like, now that they have, you know, hepatitis and shingles and strokes and myocarditis and pericarditis, and they have fatigue and all these other symptoms that come with the vaccine.
Bell's palsy.
Yeah, now that half their face can't move. And then another government official, a newly elected government official who's just as corrupt as the previous one, it's amazing how that happens, comes in and says, oh, we got a new one. Here, try this one. I think I'm okay.
This one will be better. This one's better.
I can't move my face.
Yeah, it's going to taste like strawberries. You'll
but my heart's beating a million miles a minute.
No details.
I can't move my legs. I'm blind.
Get this malingerer out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Shut him out. This guy's a troublemaker. But our own, the inventor, one of the inventors of this technology, the mRNA gene therapy technology, Dr. Robert Malone. Have you seen him before? Have you heard of Robert Malone?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he's kind of famous in the resistance, and he keeps speaking out. So kudos to Mr. Dr. Malone, because he doesn't stop. He looks exhausted. Like, you see his interviews nowadays, he just looks like, oh, my name is Dr. Robert Malone. He just looks like he needs a good, nice nap. But here he is sharing some information on Real America's Voice. So he goes on a lot of these shows and he talks to us about what's happening and the new information that's coming out about the vaccine and the adverse events. And so here's Dr. Robert Malone talking to us about what you said about the fatigue that comes along with being vaccinated. Check this out.
From many, many frontline doctors that they're seeing an increasing amount of post-vaccination syndrome complaints coming to them. Often it has to do with low energy. People feel just chronically bad after getting boosted and boosted. And it seems to be worse the more boosts you get. And when they run the tests, it appears that almost all of these patients have reactivation of Epstein-Barr virus. They basically have infectious mononucleosis kicking up again. Mm-hmm. And many of them also, of course, have shingles, the reactivation of the chickenpox. And we know those as little vesicles that have a particular distribution in your body that has to do with the nerve distribution that traces back to where that virus has been residing in your spinal cord, basically. And what this means, these reactivation of latent DNA viruses after multiple jabs, what that teaches to us is another line of evidence that the T cells are being damaged, their effectiveness is being damaged by the multiple vaccinations. This is, you hear this talk now, there's a lot of buzz on the web about people getting AIDS from the vaccines. And often people say, oh, that must mean that the vaccines are causing the production of the human immunodeficiency virus. No, that's not what they're saying. AIDS is an acronym. It stands for Acquired Immunodeficiency Syndrome, AIDS. And what that logic is, and what seems to be observed now increasingly with the multiple jabs, is that people's immune systems are being damaged. They are acquiring an immunodeficiency, which is causing or enabling the reactivation of these DNA viruses. And if Ryan Cole and other pathologists and cancer surgeons and oncologists and diagnostic radiologists are correct in what they appear to be observing right now, we may have increased incidence of very aggressive cancers. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to get cancer. It means that, just what I said, an uptick in the frequency of cancers in various populations, often in younger people than they should normally be seen in, and often with characteristics that show that they're more aggressive in terms of how frequently the cells multiply and things like that than they would normally be. So those are all signs of T cell dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are talking about AIDS, acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, as a vaccine complication. And mm-hmm. that is worrisome, frankly. I think that that's not a trivial concern, and yet it's one that is not allowed to be discussed in legacy media, social media, etc.
Yes.
I cannot discuss that. Why? Why not? What's wrong with us talking about these adverse events emanating from a vaccine that our government forced us to take?
No, because then they wouldn't be able to continue to force us to take them.
The truth coming out, you know, there's so many leaks in the story. What are they going to do? I mean, they can't hide the truth forever, or can they?
No, but they can't hide the truth forever, but they can also cover it up with another outbreak. Mr. Gates has already said as much.
Ah, see, you know more about this than me. Tell us what's happening with Mr. Gates.
Oh, I don't have a source that I can quote, but yeah, just recently he said, you know, we haven't seen the end of global pandemics. The next one could be worse.
We call those you caught me monologuing, because they can't help themselves. Klaus, Billy, Tony Fauci, they all just love to monologue about how this particular thing is going to happen. And then lo and behold, 2 months later, dun, 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 it happens.
Yeah, they don't bother to hide the fact, do they, that they're pissing on us, and they're not calling it rain. They're just pissing on us, really.
They're even telling us this is piss. And I drank I had a lot of Vegemite and I drank a lot of OJ. So here you go.
And some asparagus, because
extra smelly. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
But then we got ScoMo trying to get in the digital ID and the programmable currencies. And apparently not only that, but our prime minister has signed us onto this. Pretty ominous, I think. Apparently we have joined, Australia joins 60 other countries that have all pledged to, quote, reclaim internet. Fight disinformation.
Well, that's the end of this podcast.
That's it. We're done for.
Because that's the disinformation that they're talking about. Actual, you know, freedom of speech.
Facts, data, analysis, studies.
That's the stuff.
The future of the internet. It's called a declaration for the future of the internet, where they're going to vow to create a single global internet. Now, how the hell are you going to control the internet?
Oh, God, that sounds so generic and boring.
Doesn't it? It's like Netflix. Like, every show is just bad.
And it's safe. It's so safe.
Oh, my God. So in order to like, literally control billions and billions of users and individual clicks and individual likes, and people like all kinds of different things, you're going to need something, some sort of police security apparatus that is beyond the pale in terms of intelligence and capacity. So this is like an artificial intelligence beyond measure.
I bet you there's a pretty good model already at work in China.
Exactly. I bet you. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the social stuff, the social credit stuff.
That and, you know, very limited access to anything outside of their own, you know, outside of the government approved narrative, which is if we're going to have a global internet, that's what we're going to get.
Mm.
An approved narrative.
Absolutely. There's
rewritten history.
Yeah. Yeah, on the fly. Like, they could just do it on the fly as it's happening. Like 20 minutes after it happens, and they can just clean it all up.
Totally 1984.
Absolutely. We've even played clips of 1984, the movie version, the movie interpretation, because that's where we're headed. It's literally in that book and in the movie, the interrogator in room 101 tells our hero, Winston, he says, "Do you want to know what the future of humanity is? The future of humanity is the boot stomping on the face of humanity. And that boot belongs to Big Brother, the government." And you see that in China. You see people locked in their units because everyone lives in these massive, massive apartment buildings. So they're locked in their units without anything to eat. And they can't go outside. And the streets are shuttered. They put gates up on the street to not let anyone out. The streets are empty in Shanghai.
That sounds horrifying.
Mm.
I do think we're looking towards a hybrid of 1984 and A Brave New World. That's the kind of existence that we're going to have, you know, people bred specifically for certain jobs, you know, and programmed as such from birth, because the state's already looking to take over our children and programming them with all kinds of social rubbish, so that they grow up thinking things that, you know, just they don't need to think yet.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Just confuse them when they're growing up, when they need firm guiding principles
and role models,
positive role models that show them this is what it means to be an adult. You're almost there. You got 5 or 6 more years before you really solidify and you get to 18, 19, 20, your most impressionable years, like 13, 14, 15, 16. And they're telling you, oh yeah, you can be gender number 72. Oh no, it's okay. You can do this. You can do that. And it's all like, what are you doing? Like, why are you telling our youth that? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does if you want to disempower people so that they don't know if they're Arthur or Martha, literally. So you know, kids are already fairly well self-centric anyway, for a long time, and that's all part of maturity and stuff. But then you've gone ahead and amplified it by however many degrees, because now they're worrying about whether or not they're actually, you know, binary or male or female or you know, as yet to be defined sexuality that we'll call ALF for now, you know, that sort of thing. You actually, because there's always power in youth because of their energy and you know, they're easily led. If you've disempowered them by, you know, creating an environment where they're just focusing on themselves entirely instead of what's going on around them, then you get to manipulate what's going on around them far better. And they're not going to get in the way because they'll be too busy worrying about body hair or something.
True. Something that, like, I remember those times when I was going through puberty. It feels weird, but, you know, you kind of, all right, everyone's doing it. You know, just don't talk about it. Just get through this thing. And then 2 months later, it's done. And, you know, you move on. But now it's like, can it be that I'm a woman? Is that what it is? Oh my God. Is that why I'm, oh.
And it's an existential crisis. You know, like it's bought and paid for by the narrative, you know, like these crises are being escalated, if you like.
By the media that keeps focusing on these issues, yet doesn't talk about what's really affecting our teens, which is myocarditis and pericarditis and all this other stuff that we've injected into them that's killing them. But no, don't worry about that. Worry about, are you a girl? Are you a boy? Are you neither? Are you both? Oh.
Why don't you just be all of them and be done with it? You know? So, I mean, I'm not taking the piss out of people that are gender fluid or anything like that.
Yeah, actual gender dysphoria exists. Yeah,
absolutely. But it's this social programming that has started to take root in our schools, that, which, again, has not been nobody sought the consent of parents in this. They've just applied it. Without talking to them about it. And I just find that quite heinous.
I'm so afraid for my children's youth or like their future. I just don't know what's going to happen, you know? Anyways. So what do we do? What can we do? This is a question I always ask Sam. What can we do with all this information that's coming out, with the suppression that's they're trying to bring in from above, with all these vaccinations coming over from our left, with the digital currencies attacking us on the right, and then you have everything else, what can we do?
We just keep doing what we're doing. We keep getting the word out. We keep talking. We don't get silenced. That's all we can do.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
That's all we can do.
All right. I like that. I like your positivity. I like how much how much faith you have in our voice, even though we're so small on the compared to mainstream media and those platforms like, you know, 7 News and 9 News. I like the fact that we keep talking, we'll save the world.
Well, yeah, one person at a time.
Fantastic. So I think, you know, we've talked about a lot today. We've covered a lot of ground. Anything else you want to tell us? Anything you want to share with us about the resistance, the vaccines, anything else that you can share with the Prison Colony Resistance podcast?
No, I'm good. I think we've covered most of it in one sitting.
We did talk a lot, eh? Yeah. Thank you so much for guest hosting with us. We might see you next week. We don't know what's going to happen with Sam and where he's at. He's off on an adventure in Sam land. I don't know what's happening to him. He might be like, you know, hunting rabbits with his bare hands and eating them raw, like trying to survive in the bush. Who knows? Well,
it couldn't be as good as in Fairyland.
Oh, what's it like up there in Fairyland? Give us a story about what your daily life is like in Fairyland.
Oh, I couldn't possibly. You'd be too envious.
Oh,
yeah.
Now I'll just have to dream about it.
It's not a good look, mate.
It's been a delight to have a fairy like you, not only in my life, but also on the show. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing the experience of the PCR with our listeners and with me. Hopefully we'll see you in the future and we'll have another chat.
Love to.
Excellent. And as Sam would always say, resist, live free, do not comply. This is the Vax Man.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Prison Colony Resistance. Get your PCR test.
For truth. For truth.
Another important piece of information. Through the WEF, initiated by Klaus Schwab in 1971, Mr. Global has been training his own puppets since 1992 through the Young Global Leaders Program. Angela Merkel and Bill Gates were among the first class to graduate, the class of 1992. Even a large number of current leaders, politicians, predominantly weak personalities with, however, mostly well-trained rhetorical skills, also come from this program, including Macron in France, Kurz in Austria, Justin Trudeau in Canada, Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, but also the German Health Minister Jens Spahn and the EU Commission head Ursula von der Leyen. Against this background, which increasingly more people are recognizing, very large legal disputes have been set in motion or are now being set in motion in India, in South Africa, in the US, in Canada, and in France, among others. Their goal is to hold those who are responsible for this pandemic accountable under both civil and criminal law. The Berlin Corona Committee already now has extremely incriminating evidence proving that this corona pandemic never had anything to do with health. Rather, Mr. Global's actions are aimed solely at these goals. Destruction of regional economies to make the population dependent on Mr. Global's global supply chains, shifting the wealth of the world's population from the bottom to the top, to the super rich, to Mr. Global, population reduction, you can call it genocide, as well as Mr. Global gaining total control over the remaining population, and the installation of a world government under the UN, which is now under control of the World Economic Forum. We are dealing, this must be stressed once again, with megalomaniac psychopaths and sociopaths, which must be stopped and in fact should have been stopped a very long time ago.
I think there is a terrible irony that as Europe focuses on the war in Ukraine, almost without notice, the journalist who more than anyone else exposed war crimes by the US military in Iraq and Afghanistan, Julian Assange, has had his extradition case dealt with quietly, without comment, without fanfare, paving the way for him to be extradited to the United States to face espionage case, which could see him in jail for 175 years, for having the audacity to expose war crimes, and the criminals walk free while his life is in danger, his crime shining the light. Now, the British Supreme Court has refused to hear an appeal against the magistrate's decision to extradite him. Now he can be extradited. The case is with Priti Patel. It could also be overturned by Biden. Tomorrow is World Press Freedom Day. If the Commission and every single one of the political groups here do not raise the call for the release of Julian Assange, it makes a mockery of that day.
This has been Prison Colony Resistance, brought to you by Truth Fairy and the Vaxman Productions.